Judges 16:1. If you're there, say amen. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire, so his strength was not known. Let's pray. Lord, please meet with us. Help us now as we look at the life of Samson. God, he did so many great things for you, Lord, but he made many mistakes. Lord, he allowed his flesh to rule his life, and I pray we can learn from that. God, help us to, in some ways, be like Samson as he yielded himself to you, Lord, but in other ways, not be like him as he gave into his flesh. Lord, just please teach us from the life of this man that did serve you and that did follow you, although with just some error in his life. Lord God, please help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. What we see in the life of Samson is you can see the power of sin in somebody's life. As I said, the bondage and consequences of sin. He was in bondage to sin pretty much all his life. You can see it ruled his life. And he was a man that was greatly used by God, and God used him to do some great things, as it was prophesied before his birth that he's going to begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. But you can see the power that sin has in somebody's life, the power that sin has even in our lives if we let it, if we allow it to get that foothold in our life. Much of our problem when it comes to the consequences of sin is that it's not always immediate. See, we think sometimes we get away with it. The consequence doesn't always come right away. And that's what you can see in Samson's life. The consequence wasn't always there immediately, but it does come. You know, we may get away with some sin for years before we have to face the consequences. You may think, hey, I got long past that. I got through it. I'm okay. And then it comes knocking. That sin will come knocking. And that's what we see in Samson's life. See, so often, it's funny now. You look at just social media and everything that's out there, and some of the things that people put on social media, and they think right now they don't have a problem with it. Just wait in 10, 20 years when it comes back to get you, because it will. It's going to come back to get you. That's why we need to be careful of everything we do. But sin's consequences aren't always immediate. We may get away with it for a little bit. And as this happens, as we get away with it, there tends to be a disconnect of our actions with the consequences of our sin. So we tend to think, hey, I got away with it this time. I can keep doing it and I can do worse. And then the bondage of sin, it just keeps pulling you in more. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Come on. Keep coming. Come on. Keep coming. And that's how it works. And we end up getting in bondage. And we sometimes don't even realize that we think we're doing all right. So much of the world, the lost world, thinks that, I'm just living it up. I'm just living my life. And they don't realize that they're in bondage. I'm just doing whatever I want. I have freedom to do what I want. And they don't realize that they're in bondage. And that's exactly what it is, though. Most of this disconnect stems, for the Christian anyway, from an unbelief in God's Word. Did you hear what I said? For the Christian, somebody who's saved, this disconnect stems from an unbelief in God's Word. We don't really believe God when He says that, hey, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We say, yeah, we give a mental assent to it, but we don't really believe it. We don't live like that's what's going to happen. And we must be careful of that. many people, many Christians nowadays, and I want to be careful in saying that because so many like to use the grace of God as a license to sin. Yeah. The Bible calls it lasciviousness. Oh, it's under the blood. I can do this. I can get away with this. And they think they won't say this, but they think I have a license to sin. Because, hey, it's under the blood. By grace are ye saved through faith. I have eternal life, which is true of a saved person. But it's not a license to sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, what, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. See, we don't want to be in bondage to sin. There's a power to sin that we must open our eyes to before we're stuck in its grasp. Before it has us in that chokehold that can happen to anyone. Sin will put you in bondage. Romans 6:16, go ahead and turn there if you would. Save your spot in Judges, but Romans 6 and verse 16. I'm going to read when I get there. Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Did you get that? Let me read the first part. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. That means if you're obeying sin and you're following sin, you're sin's servant. That's what you are. You're in bondage to that sin. So let me ask you this. Are you on the path of bondage to sin? Are you allowing sin to reign in your life? Or are you on a life of liberty? Amen. Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. So we're following after the truth of God's word. Some would like us to believe that, oh, that's bondage to have to follow the word of God. No, that's where liberty's at. The truth shall make you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We want to follow after Christ. We want to walk in His footsteps. That's true liberty. That's true freedom. See, it's not bondage to follow God, but it is bondage to follow after sin. Samson's life reveals three consequences of sin that are true for anybody. But guess what? The good news is they don't have to be. They don't have to be true in your life. You don't have to follow in His footsteps. The first consequence is that sin will bind you. Sin will bind you. Look at verse 4. It says, it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. And it goes on through that story. The lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And she goes and she asks him. I don't know what this guy's thinking. Every time I read this, I still don't understand what this guy's thinking, especially after the second time of him going through this. We'll get there. If you've read through the story of Samson and Delilah, it just doesn't make sense to me, his thinking, but that's how sin works. We're in bondage to it. And we don't think clearly. But she goes on and she asks him and she says, well, hey, where does your great strength lie? How can you be afflicted, Samson? And he says, oh, if they just bind me with, seven withes that have never been dried. So they bind him. See, sin will bind you. That's exactly what it does. He was in sin's death grasp and he didn't even realize it. This goes back to this part here. We need to be careful who we give our hearts to. Be careful who you give your heart to. That can be for married people as well, especially with all this social media that's out there and striking up friendships with old people maybe that we knew in high school or something like that. Don't do that. You're just asking for trouble if you do that. You're just setting yourself up for marriage failure if you do something like that. Don't do it. My wife has veto power over any one of my friends on Facebook, any friend I have in this life. My wife has veto power. If she says, I don't like that friendship, then I love her more than any friend that I have, and I will kill that friendship for the sake of my marriage. Amen. Because I love my wife. That's good. Because it's so easy to be brought into that bondage to sin. And we want to be careful for that. And likewise, I have the same veto power with her. That's how it should work. It says right there, though, in verse 4, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. He loved a woman. See, Samson wasn't careful who he gave his heart to. He gave his heart to a whore, if you read what's going on here. She was willing to sell herself for money. Verse 5 says, the Philistines ask her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth and by what means we may prevail against him. So we can bind him to afflict him. Get this at the end of verse 5, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. She sold herself. She was what the Bible calls a whore. That's exactly what she was. We want to be careful who we're giving our hearts to. Now, most of us in here are married already, but if we're not, even you younger people, you need to be careful about that. And I know it may be a few years off for some of you, but the Bible warns us, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word keep thy heart means to guard, to protect your life. And as we go through this, that sin's going to bind you. We see right here, Samson opens up and he tells us his greatest fear. He says in verse 7, he says, if you do this, Delilah, if I'm tied with these, then shall I be weak and be as another man. That was his greatest fear right there. Look in verse 11. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Verse 17 says, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. His greatest fear was to be like any other man. See, in spite of all his sin, he still loved the power that he had with God. He loved the fact that God used him. I believe Samson wanted to be used by God, but he was letting his flesh rule his life, and he was following after this sin. He had great aspirations to be and do something for God. Many of us do. We want to do something great for God. God, I want you to use me. God, I want to reach people with the gospel. But our flesh is over here ruling and dictating what's happening. And we're not allowed to do all we can for God, because we're following our flesh. But we have great aspirations. We have great intentions. We want to do something great. We want to serve God. We want to give our all to God. But our flesh just says, no, just wait. Don't do that. You don't need to go to church all the time. You don't need to read your Bible today. Just skip it today. You're tired. You had a long day at work yesterday. You got to take care of this over here. You got to clean the house. You got to whatever it is. Whatever the next thing is, your flesh is always going to say, don't do it. Or your flesh is going to say, hey, let's go do this wicked, ungodly thing over here that you know is wrong. Samson knew better than that. He knew he shouldn't have done this. He knew what God wanted for him. He knew what God expected, especially of him being a Nazarite. That's why when he had killed that lion, he didn't tell his parents. When he went and got that honey out of that lion carcass, he didn't tell his parents when he took it to them. Why? Because he knew he defiled his vow. He disobeyed what God wanted for him. He was a Nazarite from his mother's womb. You don't think that they taught him, his parents taught him, this is what it means, son. God's called you special to be this. And this is what you're not allowed to do. And this is what God has a great purpose for you. Son, you've got to follow. You've got to obey these things. He knew exactly what it was. They taught him that growing up. But he allowed his flesh to dictate his direction. The Bible says the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. That means they're fighting each other. They're battling each other. That's one of the greatest evidences that you're a child of God, is that your flesh and your spirit are battling one another. That's a good thing that they fight. Which one are we going to let win, though? That's why, you heard of the story I've told you before about the old Indian, that he could always guess which dog was going to win the fight. And the younger Indians came up to him. They said, how come you always know? Every time there's a fight, you always know which dog's going to win. He says, that's easy. Whichever one I feed more. That's right. The one that's fed has strength and energy. The one that's starved doesn't. So what are you going to feed more? The flesh or the spirit? The flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. That's why do you almost, I think every Sunday I say, read your Bible. Hey, stick to your Bible reading program. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Why do you think I'm telling you that? Those are the basic building blocks of Christianity. To have a strong walk with God, and it's all your life. Brother, how long have you been saved? 39 years. If you stop walking with God, do you just stay the super Christian you are? It wanes off quick, doesn't it? It doesn't take long at all. You got to daily, consistently. There have been times in my life, I've been saved for 12 or something years right now. There have been times in my life when I've walked with God and I loved it. And I said, God, I don't ever want to lose this feeling. God, I just love this where I'm at right now. And then guess what? Something happens. I missed my Bible reading today.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't pray today.
That's good.
I didn't get it quite like I should have. And you know what? The next day, it's a little easier not to do it. I didn't do it again. And then you know what? It starts to show in the way I act. You believe that? I'll get grumpy with my family. I'll get grouchy with my family. Why? All because I'm not walking with God. It gets that easy. And then it's that much harder to get back into it and do what I need to do. That's why we need to be disciplined in it. We have to walk with God all the time. We absolutely must choose to do that. That battle between the flesh and the spirit. You know, we're looking at sin binding you. The scary thing is that you may be able to escape at first. At first. Look at verse 9. It says there, now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread. Now look at verse 12. Again, she asks him after that. She says, how come you don't tell me? Where's your great strength? He says, okay. He tells her. He said unto her, verse 11, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Verse 12, Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait, abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. See, you get bound up with sin and you think, I'm okay. Look, hey, I can stop anytime. I don't know how many people I've ever heard say that. I can stop anytime. Especially, I used to work with a guy, he smoked a lot. I mean, like all the time. This guy was like puffing on a cigarette like it was going out of style. I mean, this guy was always smoking. He said, I can quit anytime I want. I laughed at him. I said, no, you can't. Quit right now then. I challenge you. Just quit now. He says, I don't want to quit. I'm like, yeah, all right, because you can't. Because you can't. You see, that's how sin is. It gets you in bondage. You think, I can control this. I'm all right with this. Hey, lots of drunks have thought that. Lots of drug addicts have thought that. I can control this. Lots of porno addicts have thought that. I can control this. Huh? Then stop right now. Huh? See, at first, you may be able to break that binding. But there's no guarantee you're always going to be able to. There's no guarantee. Samson at first was able to. But it wasn't always. That's the great deception of sin. As I said before earlier, that disconnect many Christians have with our sin and the consequences is given to us in Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God promises you, God's not mocked. He says, if you sow that, you're going to reap too. And guess what? When you sow something, you just plant one little kernel of corn. One little kernel of corn. You get a whole plant that pops up with like five or six ears, and I don't know how many kernels of corn are on each ear. See, you get more of it, but you don't get it right away. It comes later. That's how it works. And that's the promise that God gives to each of us. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Bible says your sin will find you out. Moses told that to the children of Israel. Be sure your sin will find you out. The story that has stuck this verse in my mind like nothing else was a story about a man, a preacher by the name of J. Frank Norris. And he was preaching against alcohol and all of that. And it was during the time of Prohibition and whatnot. And a little bit after that, I believe. And there was some wicked politician in his city, and he preached against him and the things that he was doing, and this man was just pushing alcohol, and I don't remember all the details of the story, but this man ended up getting in a car accident, and he was drunk when he got in this car accident, and he had a case of whiskey in the back, and bad accident, and just whiskey bottles broken everywhere. And one of his deacons came and told him and that man had been in an accident. And this is just a bold preacher right here. But he ran over to that car accident and he grabbed one of those broken whiskey bottles and he scooped up some of that man's brains. And he took them into his pulpit and he preached on this verse in Numbers 32:23. And he said, be sure your sin will find you out. As he held up that man's brains, your sin will find you out. Count on it. You think we get away with it, but we don't. The first consequence is your sin will bind you. The second consequence is that your sin will blind you. Look at verse 15, if you would. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me. Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. That's the thing I don't get about him. She kept asking him and he kept telling her. He didn't understand that she was trying to get him in bondage. That's the pride. That's the deceit of pride. Right there he thought, no, I can lick this anytime I want. I'm fine. I'll keep telling her, I'm fine. God's with me. God's with me. Deceived. 3 times. Verse 16, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And that's exactly what she did. She shaved him. Go down to verse 21 now. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. It says they put out his eyes. Sin will blind you. You won't even see it coming. You won't even know what's going to happen. You know what? His love for her had blinded him. It says he saw this woman, and it says that he loved her. He loved her. Verse 17 says that he told her all his heart. See, his love for the wrong woman blinded him. That's why we have to be careful who we give our heart to. She sought to destroy him, and he stayed with her and was ultimately destroyed. That's what ended up happening to him. She continually sought to destroy him. That's what sin will do to you. It'll deceive you. It'll make you think everything's okay. Everything's all right. And it'll destroy you. It'll destroy you. See, Satan is good at what he does, and he makes sin look good. It does. You're crazy if you don't think some sins don't look good. And you're crazy, again, if you don't think that there's not pleasure in sin. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin. There is pleasure in sin for a season. There is. That's biblical. Look at any beer commercial or any advertisement for beer, and there's always good-looking people every time. Always. Why? Because it looks good. Samson liked her. I guarantee Delilah was knock-dead gorgeous. I guarantee she was. He fell for her. His wife, the one that was murdered because of some of his actions, it says he saw her. He liked what he saw. And he told his parents, get her for me. I want her. You see? That's how sin works. It makes it look good. The devil makes it look like that. He makes it look good, and then it's too late. Then we get hooked. He said, that's all I needed. You know, when you go fishing, I don't know, does anybody go fishing without bait? Anybody? You're like, that's ridiculous. Who goes fishing without bait, right? Because what fish is going to bite just a hook? What do? You put some bait on it, so they'll come for it. And when they bite the bait, you set the hook. That's how sin works. You dress it up, you make it look good. We take it, set the hook. We're caught. That's what happened to Samson. He was blinded. Her nagging also blinded him. It says there, verse 16, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. This has got to be like a world record for being a nag, I guess, that his soul was vexed unto death. I mean, that's pretty bad, right? Amen? All right. Proverbs 19:13 says, a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the countenance of a wife, or the contentions of a wife, are a continual dropping. The contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Just like drip, drip, drip. Just imagine something just hitting you on the head. Just drip, drip. You're at work. Just drip, drip. You'd be like, ah! After a while, I mean, you just get away. What's going on here? It'll drive you crazy. And that's how this was. It says his soul was vexed unto death. To death. I mean, he wanted to die. He was probably like, woman, please just be quiet here. And he bears his heart to her. He was vexed unto death. His fleshly appetites blinded him. I say Samson had an eye problem. David said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. I believe it was David. Maybe it was Job. Might have been Job. Said, I made a covenant with mine eyes not to behold a maid. What was he saying? I made an agreement with mine eyes. I'm not going to look at something that will destroy me. I'm not going to look at other women and lust after them. Hey, man, that's a covenant. Every boy in here, that's a covenant every one of us needs to make with our eyes. Right now, especially summertime's rolling around. Yeah, you better make that covenant with your eyes because women don't dress properly at all. They're what the Bible calls naked. Bible calls it naked. And they're running around out here naked. Okay, and you got to make a covenant with your eyes. I'm telling you, this is what I have to do as I'm driving down the street just in the summer. And I see way down the road, I'm like, I see a bunch of skin over there. All right, here's what I'm telling myself in my head. All right, as I get close, I'm going to have to look over here. And that's exactly what I have to do. I'll drive like this, just look, still paying attention, but just most of my focus is over here. Why? So I don't look at what's over here. I don't even know. It could be disgusting. Okay, I don't know. But I don't want to be tempted in any way I shouldn't. We make a covenant with our eyes. See, Samson had an eye problem. If you go to chapter 14, verse 1, I mentioned this earlier, but Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Look at chapter, he saw her. And here's where he says, verse 3, the end of verse 3, for she pleaseth me well. See, I like what I see is what he said. Now go to chapter 16, verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. He saw a harlot and he went in unto her. That's all it takes. He saw it. Especially if you're not walking in the Spirit. And you put that influence in front of you. That's all it takes. Anyone. Women included, but especially men. This seems to be more of a problem for men. Any one of us can fall prey to this, though. That's why we all need to watch the things that we look at. Ladies, I'd say more so items like, what's that wicked book that just came out? I can't think of 40 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades of Grey, whatever it is. That, all that, that's just pornography for the brain. That's all it is, and women are falling for that hook, line, and sinker. Lusting after people in these stories and things of that nature. We have to be so careful with these things. That's when the Bible talks about, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart. Protect what comes in, what you allow in, or it'll hurt you. But his fleshly appetites blinded him. His pride also blinded him. Look in verse 20. It says, "He and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson." This is after his hair's been cut. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." His pride. See, hey, I can do this. I've always been able to do this. I've always been able to overcome this. Anything they've done to me, I could overcome. His pride. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't know God had left him. See, we don't know. We won't know when God's left us. The letters to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, all of them were shocked by what God said about them. By God's assessment of where they were at, they were all shocked by it. See, he wist not that God had left him. God departed him. This is the danger of unconfessed sin in our life. When we want to just hold on to our sin and we don't want to confess it to God. He never realized God had left him. Now let me just say for the believer, us in this dispensation, God doesn't leave us. He promised, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." When you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. You have eternal life, but the power of God can leave you. The filling of the Holy Spirit can leave you. Never take for granted what God is doing today. Don't ever take for granted what God's doing today. When somebody's baptized in those baptismal waters back there, don't ever take that for granted. That's them wanting to follow the Lord. Don't ever take it for granted. When we see somebody saved like we did last Sunday, don't ever take that for granted. When we're out soul winning and we lead someone to the Lord, don't ever take that for granted. When we have visitors here, don't ever take that for granted. When you get to walk through these doors, don't ever take that for granted. Because we never know. Zechariah 4:10 says, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" Don't despise the day of small things. Don't take it for granted. Third consequence is that sin will grind you. Sin will bind you, sin will blind you, and sin will grind you. Look at verse 21. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. He was grinding in the prison house. He was put to work, manual labor, slave labor. Just a blind man, but they were going to use him for his strength. Imagine that, being caught. Finally, the consequence of his sin is caught all up to him. This is what it took for God to get his attention. It took this for God to really get a hold of him. He had to have his eyes put out. Could you imagine how painful that would be? To be alive and have your eyes put out? Now, there are several ways they could have done that. I don't know if they just got a hot iron and just stuck it in his eyes and burned his eyes out. Or if they took a knife and cut his eyes out. But either way, it wasn't going to be pretty. And they didn't care how they were going to handle him after all he'd done to them. They were rejoicing that they'd taken him down. That they'd finally gotten this Samson who'd stood against us all these times and always defeated us. And now we got him. And they took his eyes out. And now they're going to put him to work. He's going to grind in the prison house. Sin will grind you. You know, now he's bound to the end of his life. Sin got him. It hooked him. And this is the end of his life. You know, sometimes we... maybe someone gets saved later in life. And they've lived a life of sin. And the Lord reaches them. And praise God that God can reach anybody anywhere. He can save anybody. Anybody. No matter what sin they've done, God can save anybody. No matter how bad, how wicked they are, if they'll turn to Him and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, He'll forgive them. Anyone. But it doesn't mean the consequences for the life we've lived disappear. It doesn't mean that. There's still consequences.
Yep.
Went to visit a man in the hospital this week. And he's basically dying. He almost died. But he's basically dying from the choices he's made in his life. Have caught up with him. He's saved. I spoke with him. He knows the Lord. Praise God for that. And he was happy I stopped by. And praise God, I'm glad I stopped by as well. But the consequences of his sin have caught up with him. See, it doesn't just get erased just because we get saved. Yes, we're a new creature. Yes, God's forgiven us. He looks at us and sees us as sinless. But the consequences for our sin are still there. If you want to go fool around and mess around and you end up getting some STD, that consequence is still there even if you get saved afterwards. God doesn't just wipe it all away. There's still that consequence. And that's what this analogy, we could apply it as Samson being bound for life, bound to the end of his life. That's how sin will bind you. And you might say, I love the Lord, and you can still serve God and you can do some things for Him. But guess what? Your service for God can be ended prematurely, or it couldn't go as far as it could have gone. Listen to what I'm saying, especially young people. Listen to what I'm saying. Choose to serve God now. Don't wait. Don't waste your life. Listen to somebody. I've done some things that I never should have done. And by the grace of God, I'm standing where I'm at today. But God doesn't promise that you'll get the same opportunities that I got, or that someone else, that you'll get the same opportunities as somebody else. God doesn't promise that for any of us. You choose to follow God right now. That goes for you adults as well. It's too late. I'm too old. I messed up. Hey, do what you can for God now. You might have wasted 30, 40 years of your life. You can't get it back. But you can do something now. You can do something now. Moses didn't really even start serving God till he was 80 years old. 80. I'm too old. No, you're not. No, you're not. If you're not dead, you're not too old. You might say, I don't have the health to go walk out and knock on doors and reach somebody. You could pray for us as we go, though. Pray for us. Amen. We need that. I need that. Pray for me. I need your prayers. Pray for the people in this church. They need it. Because of this, because of what Samson had done, God's name was blasphemed. Look at verse 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. See, their God had given them this victory. And because of that, God's name was blasphemed because of Samson's sin. Christian, listen. When you live a wicked life and you want to run after sin, you are blaspheming God's name and you're giving occasion to God's enemies to blaspheme His name. 2 Samuel 12:14. This is speaking to King David. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. This is in regards to David's sin with Bathsheba. He'd commit adultery. He'd murdered a man. He broke every one of the Ten Commandments in that story right there. He broke every one of them. And God told him, because you did this, you've given occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme my name. Your sin has consequences beyond just you. It affects others around you. As we could see that as we looked in weeks past at Samson's life. But God's mercy, and praise God for this, allowed Samson another opportunity to fulfill God's will. God's mercy. You think, how come they didn't kill Samson right away? I say, because God's mercy. God said, I'm not done with you, Samson. I've got something yet for you to do. And God allowed him to do something still. Look at verse 26. It says, now what's happening here? Let me catch us up to speed with what's going on. The Philistines, the lords of the Philistines, said they gathered everyone together. They were going to have a big old celebration because they'd captured Samson. And they bring Samson in, and everyone's there making sport of him. They're basically making fun of him. This blind man now, he's half what he used to be. He's being led by a young boy wherever he goes. He's being led about by a young boy. And he's brought there, and they're making fun of him. And they take him under this structure where everyone's at. Like an amphitheater, I'd imagine. Something where they can all see him out there and make fun of him. And they take him under it. And he tells this boy, hey, put my hands where these two posts are. One more time. That's right. One more time. And the boy leads him to it where he can feel both posts that are holding the structure up. And he leads him to that. Now, verse 26. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Samson died a martyr's death, giving himself in service for the Lord. I don't think it had to end that way for Samson. But he wanted to follow his flesh. And his service for God was ended prematurely. But God's mercy allowed him to still fulfill God's will. He said, Samson told his parents, you're going to begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And that's what happened. And it was later finished with King David. God used him because of God's mercy. God uses any of us because of His mercy. Let me say, God's will is going to be accomplished anyhow. But God delights to use His servants. God delights to use us. That brings rejoicing to God. James says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. We submit ourselves to God. We resist the devil. We draw nigh to God. We cleanse our hands, confess our sin. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Stop, as the saying goes, straddling the fence. Pick which side you want to be on. Do you really want to follow God? Are you in bondage to sin, or will you seek God in confession? Seek Him in confession. You might say, I'm in bondage to sin. Then confess that to God. Don't harden up when God seeks to correct you. Rather, humble yourself and allow God to lift you up. That's what we need to do. Humble ourselves and allow God to lift us up.